from stpetecatalyst.com.
Joining me on Startup Report today are Tyler Kelly and Eddie Rabitz, who are running what we'll call Not Your Grandparents pitch competition. It's called Pitch Madness. We just partnered up with them with Pitchlist and with Seed Funders, which is very cool. Got to know them at Synapse last year when they ran their first one. And we gave $5,000 as convertible note, I think, to the winner. So let's dig into what Pitch Madness is and what your vision is for it.
Awesome. Thanks, Joe.
Sure.
Thanks, Joe.
Appreciate you having us. And it was great to kind of officially kick off our relationship earlier this year with Seed Funders. And you guys provided a $5,000 investment to our winner, who was Sebastian of Sun Vessel down in Miami. So as we look to better connect Florida, it's good to have some winners outside of just the Tampa, St. Pete area, which is cool. To your question, Pitch Madness really was kind of birthed out of us going to too many pitch competitions around the country and kind of getting a general feeling that the format was getting stale, wasn't really that entertaining, and also even worse, not necessarily identifying the best founder talent. We found that a lot of founders who were really good at presenting, almost becoming professional pitchers, were the ones winning these competitions. And maybe the engineering type, maybe the one that's really just focused on operating and growing their business, wasn't really kind of thriving in that type of environment. So we set out to create something not only with entertainment value, but also the substance to better identify founder talent and giving them an opportunity to show how they operate on a day-to-day basis. So having conversations that are more one-to-one, which I think are more realistic, whether that be with a client, an investor, or a colleague, instead of this one-to-many conversation where, unless you're Tim Cook, you're probably not doing that too often. So that's the environment we try to create with Pitch Madness. We added a little bit of the flair of bringing some of the things that you've probably seen on other outlets, whether that be political debates, or your various sports tournaments. We kind of fuse those together with a little bit American Idol judging. and that's kind of the Pitch Madness stew that we created. I think our tagline in the beginning was a new way to pitch your startup. And then after at least our first go around, we were confident enough to say that Pitch Madness is a better way for a founder to pitch their startup.
And at its core, you have this bracket style setup where you have two startups at a time that compete against each other. So that's a major innovation in introducing it as competing.
Correct.
And to level the playing field, you're asking them the same questions. So as you formulate those questions, you talk about sort of getting underneath and getting beyond just I'm a good pitch person but maybe a bad leader, or I'm a bad pitch person, maybe a good leader. How did you sort of set up the questions to get that info out?
Yeah. So first off, we say they're head-to-head debates. So very similar to, your political debate where you have a moderator who's asking the questions, and then you have two pundits on stage that are taking those questions and debating them. Again, with the sports theme that we attach to it, the moderator has a referee jersey. Nice. We do a coin flip before the debate starts. There's a 15-minute shot clock. So we, again, try to have fun with it as well. But to your question, the questions that we come up with are actually kind of the special sauce and probably take the most time, as it's pretty difficult to make questions debatable.
Right.
Especially when, say, you have two founders that are in a different market segment. So we'll do two different types of debates where some are, say, healthcare specific, if we have two health tech founders, or sometimes it's just general founder knowledge that you should know, whether it's an HR issue or how to find what do you look for an investor or a co-founder, or general strategies. We spend a lot of time trying to figure out what are going to be questions that aren't too detailed, so there is room for debate,
right?
But ones that we're trying to evoke some of those kind of core principles that you might not get in one of those rehearsed canned speeches that you get at a traditional pitch competition.
There's also certain ways to ask questions. For example, situational, where you're forcing the founder to take a position. Mm. So that's kind of what we want out of it. We want founders to think through the question, to take a position, to defend it, logically, and but also communicate it clearly, right? So that we feel that by putting them in those situations, it's exhibiting, how much do they know about, business in general to answer these kind of random questions that we're going to be peppering them with. How well do they communicate? Because that's vital in business. And how well did they decision make, right? Are they thinking through things logically and making natural decisions, logical decisions? Because that's, again, going to affect them in business.
Right. And I'm assuming with the sports theme that you're throwing penalties at them if they use the word synergy or ecosystem.
Transparency.
Or we're the Uber of. Yeah,
there you go. You get mine. Yeah, think of it as around the horn at ESPN. I'll sit there with a little sound machine. We'll probably do that in future iterations.
Yeah, we thought about doing that.
And what's been the feedback on, obviously pitch competitions are pitch competitions, but to have it be so mano-a-mano, it does, obviously it adds the intrigue, but that's a mind, it's pitch competitions are that one-to-many, and now you're actually bringing that one-to-one in how they interact with each other.
Right.
Has there been any pushback to that? People said they liked it, exhilarating, weird.
The first pushback I saw was we were trying to do something up in Philly, and we pitched it, and we kind of went gung-ho because we were excited about it. This is going to be one of the second one that we were trying to line up. And they said that the whole sports aspect of it might turn off people who aren't into sports.
Right.
And they didn't want, they wanted to be more inclusive, right? And they thought that the sports aspect would be exclusive. So I didn't quite get it, but I did at the same time. So it helped us trying to make, we don't want to say that, we're this whole sports thing, but it fits naturally because it's a tournament, right? It's competitive.
Sure.
So how do we make it competitive, but still, say, hey, anybody can join. Like, you don't have to play sports. You don't have to think about sports. It's just more of a, it's a pitch competition.
Yeah. Well, so with the founders, there was in the beginning, maybe some nervousness. Are we supposed to like sling mud at each other at this thing? Is this going to be, maybe how actual political debates typically go, where you end up kind of taking low blows, taking shots at people. And, it's really just kind of how you present it to them and kind of showing them that that's not what this is really about. Yes, you're going head to head, and that provides some of the intrigue and some of the learning opportunities for the audience as well as the judges. What we really tried to focus on is that this is an opportunity to put your thoughts on display, right? There are no real winners, even though there is technically a winner,
right?
But it's more your opportunity to, speak through some of the generic platitudes that you typically will see in a pitch competition. It's more of an opportunity to, here's a lens into how I look at the world, into how I look at how you should run a business, essentially what you would be getting if you invested in me. Not just kind of this idea that I've come up with and trying to grow. And I think, again, we're not for every stage company. We're specifically for kind of pre-seed, seed type companies where, really all the emphasis is on the founder, mm-hmm. and you don't have necessarily enough traction to kind of speak to it, where it actually makes sense to go on that traction for an investment.
Right.
Because again, one of the big irritants that we would see is that, judges or investors are looking for, these metrics for a pre-seed company to speak to in a competition. It's just kind of ridiculous because it's like, I haven't gotten there yet, but we can't just depend on founders to have, an uncle that's going to give them $50,000 to kind of get their business off the ground. We need to do a better job at identifying talent and making bets on that talent that they're going to be able to do with, what they feel their solution is to a problem. And so, That's really what we're trying to do is better help people identify good, great founder talent and connect them to a community that can kind of get them to the next milestone.
Yeah. We were having a conversation earlier today and they said somebody opened up themselves for people to apply. Was it a competition where everybody that applied on their deck had the whole hockey stick in terms of growth? Yeah.
Everybody has the same graph.
Yeah. Everybody
has the same deck.
Yeah. Yeah.
Obviously there's nuances, but when it comes to, you know, projections, I mean, I was talking to somebody last week or the week before, you know, in startups, you know, you can't see the future. You don't know how you're going to get there. There's luck involved. There's hard work. There's not, you know, some people don't work hard and still succeed. So it's all, when it comes down to it, there's a lot of BS in it, right? So we, by asking people, you know, directly these questions and putting them on stage, can't really BS around a question in front of all these people in front of a judge. You know, we're taking that kind of element out of it.
Yeah. And so that part's unique. And then the fact that it is a variation on a theme, there's a good entertainment value to it. And thus it makes it a great fit for a platform like Synapse, which is where you ran your first one last year, because it's the perfect kind of programming that's exciting and fits into a nice larger scale version of thing. And now you're following up with the Synapse Orlando. So are those the types of places that you're looking to plug into, or what's the plan to scale?
Yeah.
We're meant to be a plug and play, so we can have our own, we can plug in. Synapse was great, was a great venue, great organization. With how they're rolling out fits great with us as well, because we can now do the road to the summit, which is, I think, a great way to introduce ourselves and to engage the rest of the community in the different areas with Synapse as well. It makes it a little bit more entertaining and interesting. But in terms of, you know, how we roll out, we're still figuring that out. We're trying to partner ourselves strategically in some areas. Right now, we kind of just latched on to what the opportunities were. For example, we're going to be in Monaco in November. Mm. That came from a relationship I had in the hospitality tech scene. We've just spoke to today the Sports Coliseum, their organization in Israel. You know, they're in sports, they're growing, they do stuff all over Europe. They're going in, was it Serbia? They want to move to New York, and they're like, hey, we're growing, this fits with us, let's see what we can do in the next or for next year. So they might be an interesting partner. We don't have our strategy set yet because we're still pretty new. But as we look forward, I think we're going to, you know, the way I see it, and it's probably going to be very different than Tyler, is try to, you know, let's say if we look at the US, you know, go into the bigger markets, but not so much with the bigger organizations per se. We want to also give it kind of a community feel. So there's a localization to it. You know, as we look for sponsors, you have the national sponsors, but you also have the local sponsors as well. So I think that's kind of will be in the mix in the rollout.
I'm going to jump in. This is a perfect chance to do some pitch madness, actually. Because Mr. Rabitz here believes that he should do it your way, and you're going to think differently.
Do so I have 15 minutes on the shot clock?
Shot clock, one minute. Go.
I think, again, you know, this would be a great question in terms of what you look for in a colleague or a co-founder, right? So I always try to seek out people that
sounds like a pivot
from me.
This is the beginning of a Dear John letter.
I always look for people that think about things differently than I do, maybe with core principles, but on the top ends, you know, we kind of look at things through a slightly different lens.
Right.
And then we discuss and a lot of times argue about how we can kind of figure out something kind of in the middle. So in terms of kind of how I look at this, I want to always make sure that pitch madness is something special to be a part of. We have to be really thoughtful in terms of the types of partnerships that we create. You know, Brian Kornfeld and Lauren Prager gave us the opportunity to do this really just off an idea. It was just an idea we just kind of threw into the ring after, you know, I had just been to too many pitch conferences and I couldn't stomach one more. And I'm like, we got to do something different that's a little more fun and also highlighting kind of the founders that aren't great at pitching, because I would see folks bomb their pitch and then I talk to them offline and I'm like, wow, this person really knows their stuff. So, you know, it started there and we're really using this this time now, towards the end of the year, I think we have about 4 more events kind of lined up. Mm-hmm. We're going to try a couple different formats kind of inside the umbrella of Pitch Madness, whether it's a 2-day conference or a 1-day conference. You know, we kind of infuse kind of fun political type titles for some of our formats. Like we have a Ross Perot format where in a 1-day conference, we obviously have a shorter amount of time. So we're going to do 3 debates in the first round. So we'll have 3 finalists. And then so that finals will have a legitimate, you know, independent right. candidate similar to the 92 election. So we're trying to figure out things right now to make sure we stay in line with our mission, but also don't kind of oversaturate things where we're just taking advantage of any opportunity that comes down the pipe. And, you know, Ed touched on the road to the summit. What that means is we're really focused on Florida and making sure that, you know, we build continuity through our events. So instead of us just kind of, again, latching on to any opportunity, that everything kind of leads somewhere. So there's buy-in across the board and people get excited to be a part of what we're doing. So we have our Orlando event with Synapse Orlando on the 18th. We have one in Miami on November 21st during Global Entrepreneur Week. And the winners of those 2 events will get an automatic bid into the summit in February 2020. So those types of things where we'd like to roll that out in Jacksonville, in Melbourne, in Sarasota, right? You know, all across the state. So those automatic bids go into something bigger at the end of the year type of thing. How was that?
I'm going to say that was very politically correct. I'm going to call it a dodge, with a capital D and give that round to Eddie. So well done.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, I think we're both in the same sphere when it comes to iterating, right? Yeah. You know, just like anything, we got to test stuff out. We got to figure out what our brand is going to be. We looked at TED Talk and how they rolled that out. You know, people can have quote-unquote TED Talks, but at the end, it's a TED Talk, right? So what do we look at from a branding standpoint? That is Pitch Madness going to be, you know, the Pitch Madness competition now? Yeah. Is it going to be something madness? Are people going to say, hey, it's, you know, Mentor Madness is something that's already out there that somebody brought up? And it's like, are people going to think when they see Mentor Madness, Pitch Madness? Because that's kind of what we want them to think. Or are we going to go through some branding evolution, come out with a different name that, you know, sticks, you know, maybe a little bit easier?
Yeah, I mean, the first thing that hits you is the bracket format, right, and the competition. Yeah. And I think, you know, that's cool, and that'll be nice and always be a little bit fresh. But really, I think your secret sauce is how the questions that you're asking and the way you're, you know, having the two of them juxtapose off each other for the, you know, the less rehearsed, more probing questions that reveal their character. I think that's what'll keep it really interesting. I love that aspect of it.
Yeah, and we were, again, luck plays into this. I was at eMERGE in Miami this past year, fire drill. I was getting lunch. I was like, I'm not leaving. People are kind of staying back, but the fire alarm went off. So people are leaving. I'm staying back. Finally, I'm like thinking about leaving. There's another guy with me. So we start walking out. We start chatting. Before we could get outside, everybody's come back in, right? One of those situations. I sit down with him. He's a professor at University of Miami in the communications department. I talk to him. He's like, you know what? You should talk to my colleague, Professor David Steinberg. He's the director of the Miami debate team. And if you know anything about debate and Miami's team, they win competitions. They're good. I look into David Steinberg. He's a political debate consultant. He consults moderators and presidential candidates. I don't know how often he does it. He gets phone calls after debates from media outlets to see who he thinks won and all this stuff. So I reached out to him and he agreed to kind of help us on the formatting a debate in which we could get the most out of everybody. Because what I didn't know is how much the moderator plays into it, right? Tyler's a great referee. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a two founders debating back and forth, but I wouldn't put them in a political debate, right? So it's what do we have to learn ourselves in positioning our questions in a proper way to force people to take those sides, or what other questions are out there, how we can formulate them to get, you know, a rise out of people and that engagement.
So what I hear you saying is that the interviewer is really where all the skill lies, and
Yeah.
It's an underappreciated art and really should be taken much more seriously and
correct.
Respected. I agree with that. Yeah. I think that's fun.
That's why I'm doing it right now.
Yeah.
That's right.
Well, who's interviewing who, right?
That's the other question. Yeah.
I mean, it's a balance there because we don't want to make it about someone other than the founders, right? So it's that balance of how we can kind of spur the debate on a little more without making it too much of a, you know, spectacle. Because we don't want it to turn into, you know, a TMZ worthy type piece of content. Like, we want to be entertaining, but we want to make sure that, you know, these founders are in a position where, you know, they're talking about their companies, they're trying to raise capital. We don't want to make it gimmicky where it kind of takes away from that. So
absolutely. They have to be able to come out the other side of it with enough gravitas to get that money and to be investable.
Yeah. We will do a foghorn once in a while though. And, you know, we'll maybe do a little, you know, ready the rumble type of intro for the founders. But, you know, once the debate starts, we want to make it, you know, all about the substance if we can.
That's cool. And I definitely think it begs, we had talked a little bit like a week or two ago about, you know, even making a show out of it. And I think it begs to be, you know, kind of a, I don't know, they call them docuseries or whatever, but just following the road to the summit. It'd be really cool. So.
Yeah. The more creative you are, the more you can see in this.
Yeah, you know, a good idea when you say, that's great, that's great, that's great. And then all of a sudden you got six more things. It's just, it's really a wide open platform. Very, very
That's why we're trying to manage things right now because it's very easy to say yes. It's always harder to say no.
Yeah.
So we're trying to make sure that we say yes at the right time and no at the right time. We're very excited about kind of bringing more visual content to kind of what we're doing. And again, I think that's the value of having kind of a specialist, if you will. You know, typically a pitch competition is just a subset of what the conference is doing.
Right.
It's just, you know, whatever the conference name is and their pitch competition. But kind of bringing us in as someone that this is what we focus on, this is what we do day to day. We're, you know, continuing to refine the process. And then these are the other things that we add to it. I think there's a pretty good value prop in that.
Definitely.
Yeah. Yeah, and we, in terms of, you know, where we think we can take it in terms of creativity, I mean, we thought about, like, what if we got CEOs, you know, to compete against each other, right?
Yeah.
Like, what kind of media storm would that be to have, you know, I don't know who, Benioff.
The Popeyes and the Chick-fil-A founders kind of duke it out and who's the best.
Like, a Benioff versus Elon Musk of the West Coast, right? To see, you know, those are two very different types of CEOs.
That would get a few hits on YouTube.
Right. Yeah. But at the end of the day, if you know, to put them against judges, who's going to judge them, you know, it'd get pretty intense. So we can go anywhere with this model because at the end of the day, it's just a simple debate. So, you know, like he said, we got to be careful of where we go and what we hop on next because, you know, all of a sudden we can pivot without even knowing.
Yeah. Well, you guys have been a pleasure to work with. You know, I'm excited. I think we're giving away pitchless entries to the top two or three in the next couple competitions. Seed Funders is back, doing the investment in the winner of the Synapse Orlando event.
We also have an announcement there as well because Seed Funders is going to be a part of that. And then we also have Deep Work Capital that's going to tack on another $25,000 as an option to one of the finalists for investment as well. So that's a grand total of $30,000 as a possibility of investment to one of the finalists. So that's pretty
exciting. That's great. Yeah, Deep Work's a great organization. So it's really good to have them on board. Very cool. Appreciate you stopping by.
Yeah.
Look forward to continuing the road to the summit. And
absolutely.
And we'll keep watching. And of course, we'll have the winners in here for the show at some point too. So keep checking in that way as well. So thanks for stopping by.
I'll make sure I'm less politically correct when talking about that. I don't want to hurt his feelings.
Cool. All right. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Tyler Kelly and Eddie Rabitz of Pitch Madness, another startup report from PitchList and St. Pete Catalyst. To hear more PitchList startup reports in the archive, visit stpetecatalyst.com.